Greetings, I'm Noel Deer. Welcome to today's Daily Devotion. I hope these next few minutes will encourage you as you seek to learn God's Word and abide with Christ. Our focus today is John chapter 5, verses 24 through 30. And in our passage today, Jesus continues his address that was prompted by the pushback from the religious leaders over his Sabbath day healing of the man by the pool of Siloam. And in these verses, Jesus is going to communicate some heavy truth. These are important verses. Let's jump right in. Verse 24, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life." Now, there's something pretty unusual here in the way that John frames the object, our object of belief. Now, we've seen this idea of belief probably a couple of dozen times already in the Gospel of John. But every time up to this point, John or Jesus talks about belief in Jesus. But here, Jesus says we must believe in the one who sent him. That's the Father. Now, why the change? Well, this is further affirmation of the unity between the Father and the Son. To believe in the Father is to believe in the Son, and to believe in the Son is to believe in the Father. Now, Jesus mentions two realities in this verse. He speaks of eternal life, and he speaks of being under judgment. Now, the idea isn't that those who believe have already been judged and acquitted and thereby granted eternal life. That's not how this works. Rather, the one who has eternal life has escaped judgment altogether. And those who, quote, come under judgment, those people don't have eternal life. So there are those with eternal life, and then there are those who are under judgment. Verse 25, "Truly I tell you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." The Bible speaks of three different kinds of death, and it's important to know those to understand this verse and some others. First of all, there's spiritual death. This is separation from God because we're guilty of sin. If we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve were told that if they sinned, that they would be, well, that they would die. Well, they sinned and they didn't die. They didn't die physically, but they did die spiritually. There was a separation between them and God, who is the spiritual life giver. So there's spiritual death, then there's physical death, and we're more familiar with that. And then there's eternal death, which would mean ultimate separation from God, eventually in a place called hell. Now, what is Jesus talking about here when he says that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live? Well, he's speaking of those who are spiritually dead. They're dead. They're separated from God because of their sins, but they hear the voice of God. They respond, they believe, and they receive eternal life. Verse 26, "For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he has granted to the Son to have life in himself." Now, this verse isn't suggesting that at some point Jesus didn't have life, and then God grants him life, and now he has transitioned into some divine being. That's not the case. I understand how someone could come up with that theory if this were the only verse we had in our entire Bibles, but it's not. In fact, if we go back just to the beginning of the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verse 4, especially read in context, clearly says that Jesus had life from the very beginning. So how do we understand this verse that seems to say that God granted, the Father granted Jesus life? Well, I think this refers to the fact that as Jesus voluntarily gave up the independent use of his divine attributes at the incarnation, when Jesus became flesh, he was still fully God, but he gave up the voluntary, independent use of some of his attributes. But God, the Father, granted him the authority to give life, both physical life and spiritual life, even during his earthly ministry. And I believe that's what this verse refers to. Verse 27, and he has granted him the right to pass judgment because he is the Son of Man. Now, we should remember John 3:17, which says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So Jesus didn't come to judge, but by rejecting Jesus, man brings judgment upon himself. So in that sense, Jesus has come to judge. He has come to offer life, and if we refuse that, then we submit ourselves to judgment. Verse 28, do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Now, this is talking about a future time, but this is important. Let me read that verse again and then the next verse. Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good things to the resurrection of life and those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, this refers, as I said, to some future event, and this can be confusing. Dead people, saved and unsaved, are not in the ground or in ashes. The Bible clearly teaches that when a child of God, a saved person, dies, he goes to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when a lost person dies, he immediately goes to the place of torment. But at some future time, the time of the resurrection and the judgment, those who are adopted into the family of God, those who are saved, they will receive a resurrected body fit for eternity with the Lord in heaven. And it's at the point that these verses refer to. And those who are lost will also receive a resurrected body fit for an eternity in hell. And that'll happen at this future date, and that's what he references here. Now, a second confusing thing is the basis for the judgment. It says the basis for whether or not the person, the basis is whether or not the person has done good things or the person has done wicked things. Now, does this mean that we earn our salvation by good works? Well, no. And John is very clear about that in his gospel. We are saved, we are forgiven, we become a part of God's family because we believe, because we trust in Jesus. So then what does this verse mean? Well, it's telling us that those who believe, those who trust, those people will also be characterized by good deeds. And those who don't believe, those who don't turn to Christ, their life will be characterized by wicked deeds. That's the result of believing or not believing in Jesus. Look at verse 30. He says, I can do nothing on my own. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. The distinctions within the persons of the Trinity allow each person in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, to perform certain functions. But the divine union, the unity of God, tells us that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit each do what the others would do even if the roles were swapped. There's perfect harmony within the Trinity. And that's a lot to cover in these seven verses, some of the deepest verses in the Gospel of John. Friends, thanks for watching or listening today. We'll continue this theme tomorrow and perhaps bring some more clarity to this. But if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe buttons on your favorite podcasting app. Just search for Pastor Noel's Daily Devotions. Further info at noeldear.com. I hope you have a great day as you endeavor to abide in Christ.